Hello, Internet. My name is Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And who's this?
Well, hey, everybody. I'm Bonnie.
We're very excited today. Not only do we have a special guest, Bonnie, my fiancé and podcast semi-regular. She's saluting the computer. Audio only, but it's a fine salute nonetheless. Very excited. We're in Podcast HQ.
Yeah, back where it all began all those years ago.
July 2011.
Yes.
Just a couple of young kids with a crazy idea to start a podcast.
And now we're the number one podcast in the world.
Someone will probably fact check us on that. Let us know where we are on the I'd actually like to see where we rank.
Of all the podcasts in the world.
Until proven otherwise, I'm just going to assume we're number one. Mm. And then the listeners will do the work for
us. Anything that says differently is probably fake.
Fake news.
Fake news.
Alternative facts.
Indeed.
Jason Sivers. Probably, I don't know, probably our last political show for La La Land podcast.
Yeah, so a very non-political film we're going to be reviewing. In a very political time, might be good to do a non-political review. It's La La Land.
Yes.
The musical adventures of Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone. And just a quick heads up, we are going to be doing spoilers. It's been out for a little while, so we're going to hit you with a spoiler warning. Bonnie, do you know the spoiler alert?
Yes.
All right.
Spoiler alert. Woo! Okay, so we can now say anything that happens in La La Land.
Everything is fair game.
Yeah.
Okay, so La La Land, Ryan Gosling, one of the top three actors of the modern era. As declared by me.
Yes. Who are they up to? Michael Fassbender and the guy who played Bane in The Dark Knight Returns.
That's right. Tom Hardy.
Okay,
in no order. They can juggle around at any time. So I'm already on board.
Hashtag Clooney Robs.
who do you think... have I left anyone out? Are there any unfair snubs in that list?
Ooh, Leo? Maybe Leo?
Yeah, it's a good pick. I'm a Leo fan.
Who am I thinking? Here's some thoughts. These could be. Is this living?
Still working.
Still working. Okay, because I think Philip Seymour Hoffman would have definitely been in there if it was of the past sort of 5-10 years. Yeah,
that's a good pick too.
What about like George Clooney, Paul Giamatti, and Tom Wilkinson?
Are they your top three?
I don't know. There's the names that came to mind.
First that came to mind. So you got Leo. Do you have two other suggestions?
Oh, gosh. Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks. That's another good... Baz's favourite, right?
Maybe. Yeah, I think so. He also likes Twister, so he's a big Bill Paxton fan as well. And he also liked the King of Queens, so maybe Kevin James is in the mix.
You got a third one for us, buddy?
Probably Steve Martin.
Oh, I like Steve
Martin. I haven't seen him in anything too recently because he's doing his banjo stuff.
Yeah, he does a lot. He does a lot, Steve Martin. He's doing artworks and banjo. Like, I think he curates art exhibitions.
So he's expanding his
banjos. He also does magic as well. So
yeah, that was his original act was comedy and magic back in the good old days.
Have you read his book? Have you read his...
Jonathan did.
It's
a great book.
The beginning of it's particularly good. I haven't finished it, but the first half of it's great.
Yeah, I was... In my performing career, I'm thinking, oh, I need to be doing about 50 more shows per week.
Yeah.
That man worked.
Yeah. Bill Murray is also someone that I always...
That's a Bill Murray fan. Well, there you go. Okay,
so we've got a little sidetrack.
Send us your top three if you completely disagree with our list.
Bottom line, we all like Ryan Gosling, right? We all think he's a good actor. Yeah, regardless of where we rank him, he's very good.
Right. Are we on board with the Stone? Emma Stone.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Big fans.
I think a couple of years ago she was one of my maybe celebrity crushes. Like, about a list of 5 celebrities I'd go out with. Like,
I'm less intrigued by the fact that she made the list as so much as you said a few years ago. What? Like, Emma Stone, she's gone down. She's just really let herself go. It's not into that anymore.
I saw her in something and really liked her, and then, I didn't see her in something for a couple of years, and I sort of haven't redone the list since then, but yeah, I think it was like sort of, oh no, we're just going to another like list of actresses now. But anyway, no, I really like Emma Stone, and I was like, yeah, she's one of my favourites.
Yeah, I always thought she was funny in like Superbad and Easy A.
Easy A, she was really good in.
That is the movie where I decided she was one of my favourite actresses who is around my age, because there's not that many actresses that I necessarily like who are in their, you know, 20s or whatever at the same time as me, and I feel like Emma Stone was the first actress that I really connected with that was like someone I could look up to as a female actor around the same age, because of mainly because of Easy A and her comedic timing and her realness. I just love that.
Yeah, no, I think that I probably like actresses of a similar age, because I think like, oh, maybe if like a single and I meet them at something, maybe
a God Derby webcast.
Yeah.
Love meets in the strangest of places.
Yeah.
Like Hollywood, for example.
Although, to be fair, I'm bad at asking girls I know out in fairly regular settings, let alone in a professional environment where I'm interviewing someone.
A celebrity.
Yeah, like asking them out. Like, and, bad enough just asking that girl I met at the party out for a coffee on Facebook, let alone, let alone the... So now I finished that interview. Yeah. I was wondering. Gonna be in LA in a month.
Maybe that'd be easier. Maybe with the girl you met at the party, you're like, ooh, I reckon I give myself like 50-50 shot here. And that you feel like there's more on the line. But Jennifer Lawrence, she's never gonna say yes. So I can just chuck it out there. No harm, no foul.
Yeah. Just know you can just act like it's a joke. Yeah. of course you wouldn't. It's a joke.
It's just Australian humour. You wouldn't understand.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. We're fans of Emma Stone as well.
Yeah, I love Emma Stone.
I was also excited to see the film because it was directed by Damien Chazelle.
Yes.
Who did Whiplash, a Screen Verdict Award winner.
Yes, that won Best Picture at the Screen Verdict Awards 2 years ago. Mm. He's now got a new film with some actors we like, set in a city that we like, that people are saying is the front runner to win Best Picture at the Oscars. Like, this could be a bloody good movie.
Expectations through the roof. So let's get into the film. Starts with
the traffic. Best scene.
Oh, the best scene.
My favorite scene is the opening scene where everybody's dancing around on the highway that I stressfully drive on pretty much every day. I'm pretty sure it was the 405 where they filmed.
I don't know for sure, but it looked like the 405.
It looked like where the 5 meets the 405 or something like that.
And you get a good look at the 405, you know, like, it's not a...
You spend a lot of time on the 405.
So you could relate to this... You could relate to the opening scene.
Well, now every time I'm on the 405, I want to just hop out of my car and break out into song. Absolutely. It would make traffic a lot more bearable and interesting.
Dangerous message. Yeah.
I feel like more people need to get in on that. Because I'm very tempted if I'm getting like stuck in traffic just to like wind down a window and just look over the person next to me and just go... Bum, 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 ba-dum, bum, ba-dum, bum, bum, yeah. Bum, bum, bum. We got to get this guy. Guys, if you live in LA, get on board. Listen to the soundtrack, learn the lyrics and the dance moves, and we'll try and get an impromptu dance session going on the 405.
The next time we're all in LA, we should go on the 405, wind down the window, and see if we can get people in on.
Yeah,
at least sing along to the thing. I think that could be fun.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
It's got viral video written all over it.
Yeah.
Cool. So we like the opening ditty, and then we're introduced to our main characters. Let's start with Ryan Gosling. What do we think of his character in the film? Do we like him? Is he a good guy, a bad guy?
The opening scene or the whole film?
I guess like initial impressions, like
because he like how clips off Emma Stone. Yeah. You don't love him in the opening scene.
The classic attractive bad boy.
Yeah.
Guy that you don't want to date, but you do want to date him.
The guy you want to date, but you don't want to marry.
Right.
Right? Like, yeah.
Unless he changes his attitude, and then you might consider it.
Yeah. One day, he will change.
Yeah, see, girls don't want nice guys. They want bad guys that they can turn into nice guys.
Bingo. Bingo.
Did I tell you that once I was at uni, and I was walking with one of my friends from uni, and she was going, "Ah, nice guys never ask, there aren't any nice guys around, they're always jerks, they're always mean, why aren't there more nice guys, yada, yada, yada." And I said to her, "You're saying that, but there are nice guys, it's just..."
Hi, my name is Matt Miller.
Yeah, yeah. And said, "There are nice guys, but girls don't want to go out with the nice guys." Like, if there was a really nice, sweet guy came along and asked you out, would you actually want to go out with him? She said, "Yeah, actually, probably not."
Catch 22.
I was like, "Well, stop complaining." Yeah.
I like how easily the facade came down.
Yeah. So, if you mention it like that.
If you read it back to me.
Yeah. This girl worked at Zara. Is Zara an American?
Yeah, we have Zara. Yeah.
So I don't know if that says anything about her. Like, she's just gotten the job. She was very excited.
So he's a bit of a bad guy. He also loves jazz. I think this was the most interesting part of his the character, really. Just someone... I always find people that are interesting that are just relentless about one thing. That, like, other things in their life just get completely sacrificed because they are entirely narrow in a narrow-minded pursuit of whatever it may be.
You like that or you don't like that?
I like it, at least in films.
Because I'm a bit more of a jack-of-all-trades sort of guy. I like to know a little bit about everything.
How are you ever going to make it to the top if you like a bit of jazz, a bit of hip-hop, a bit of... Well, there's rock and roll. You'll never be the greatest.
Might be the best at pub trivia.
You can go on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and probably win.
Yeah.
No, but there's a common thread here when you look at the musician in Whiplash and Ryan Gosling. It's like, it's the all or nothing approach where I throw myself into my music and I do anything and everything I need to do to make it. And that's how a lot of artists have to live. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to be a successful artist if you're not 115% throwing yourself into that life.
I think a couple of things. One is, firstly, I found it hard to sort of really get on board and have sort of the rooting factor for a guy called Sebastian who loved jazz. I found that a very hard thing to sort of get on board with.
Too many Twister references. Yeah. In this film.
Secondly, I do think a bit of a difference with the Ryan Gosling in this, and maybe some people like we see in Whiplash or like Black Swan, which is very like driven and focused sort of characters, is he did seem to just enjoy himself more playing the jazz. It was less about sort of being perfect and driving for like that perfection, and more just enjoying the music for what it is.
And it wasn't about beating other people to get to the top. It was more just, he loved jazz.
Yeah.
And I really like being like immersed in that world, going to like the club, seeing like his apartment with all the old vinyls. Mm. It was a great look at the fandom of jazz.
Yeah, he didn't want to be the greatest jazz player of all time or the greatest drummer like in Whiplash. He wanted to just be in a small club where he got to play and listen to jazz because he loved the music and the world of jazz. And I found that a bit more likable than, and less intense than the sort of Whiplash and Black Swan sort of. I have to be the best, but I have to be better than everyone else.
Yeah. I love both of those movies, but they're intense. They're stressful movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also liked it because with someone that has, like, a character that has such strong feelings, you can then play off that, like, where he's doing a gig at a pool party, it's totally not his scene, and then she requests, "Is it Iran?"
Yeah.
Like a song that he considers totally beneath him, but he's forced to play it. So you get funny moments like that. And then you also get more serious... sort of conflicts when he gets offered a great position with the John Legend's band, or his like former bandmate, and they're super successful, but it's kind of not exactly pure jazz what he would want to be doing. So, yeah, I thought those conflicts were quite made for interesting watching.
Yeah. What do we think about Emma Stone's character in the movie?
She is... I thought she was very relatable. I
think, very relatable.
But Bonnie might have a better insight into the L.A. actor life.
Well, I moved to L.A. from a small town to be an actor, so I found it very relatable living in the house with five girls to be able to afford rent.
Yeah.
I never worked as a waitress, but I worked odd jobs, you know, while I was pursuing acting. I thought it did a good job of depicting what it was like. I love the scene where she goes in for the audition and the casting director is a complete jerk and she gets interrupted and then, you know, she loses track and then she just gets basically, okay, that's enough. We've seen enough. Thank you.
That happens.
And it was so well done. So I thought they did a really good job.
She does this emotional speech. She's got tears in her eyes.
She did an amazing
We're all on edge of a seat thinking she's killing this audition.
She was.
And then someone's tapping on the door behind about like a lunch order and then
he's
like, yeah, come in.
It is how it is.
She bared her soul to you.
I mean, you go into these blank rooms. It's literally a blank room with white walls. There's a fold-out table, two chairs with the casting people sitting on it. And then a camera and nothing else. And you come in and you create this world in your mind. You work for hours and hours to create a moving audition. And then they're more worried about what type of sandwich they're going to eat.
I hate pesto.
And this is your livelihood. And they're talking about, you know, BLT versus turkey. You're like, so I thought that was great.
Do you know what? I could go for some Subway cookies now, to be honest. Thinking about food.
That's your reward for completing the podcast.
Okay. I liked it. I saw the film with my sister and a couple of her friends and a new boyfriend.
That's a conversation.
It's a conversation for another another podcast.
Yeah, hearing like Lingfield gossip.
That's a new podcast I'm starting. It comes on right after Screener.
I would love to do a podcast on my friends and people of my life's relationships. I've got a lot of strong opinions, positive and negative.
What does she say or think?
She loved the dresses that Emma Stone wore in the movie.
Yeah.
She
wanted to know where she got them.
It's a very colourful, stylish. It's kind of the...
Reminiscent.
Yeah, it's sort of like nostalgic for like that kind of classic golden Hollywood era, but with like a bit of like a modern twist, like very, very colourful and bright, just to fit the mood, lift you up.
So anyway... So there you go, Emma Stone. We should wait until that's a bit later. Anyway, I found sometimes in the film, like, the artistic merit to her dream wasn't as clearly laid out as the artistic merit to Ryan Gosling's dream.
Yes, because it's quite specific, you know, just having, like, he wants to open a club. He wants to have a jazz club, people come, listen to music, get some good food, have some drinks, and hang out. Be a part of that jazz community. Whereas, I guess, becoming an actress... I mean, she had her own things. Like, she wrote her own...
One-woman stage show.
Yes.
So she did... You know, she had her own talents and, I guess, you know, steps to get there. But I guess she did her final goal... I mean, what is your final goal? Like, just be Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
Like, right. Well, and as an actor, you often get pulled into where you fit and not necessarily exactly what you want. So... look, if you're not a leading lady type, you're not going to land leading lady roles. That's just how Hollywood works. So she got pulled where she belonged, and that's just kind of, it's truthful. That's how it is.
Yeah. I do think, like, the thing where she was talking about watching the movies with her aunt was, like, where I really saw a really strong sort of connection, where it's sort of like she wanted to be part of the stories that inspired her as a young girl and brought her into. So I think, like, that was really strong. But I think at times it did look a bit like it was about just getting famous and not about telling those stories.
Yeah.
But I agree, the One Woman Show is another, like, really good case of artistically her telling a story and it not being about being famous. Yeah.
So we like them individually.
Yes.
When they meet, are we rooting for this love, or do they not seem right for each other?
feel like when they meet, like, you know they should be together more because it's Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone. sort of vague idea of where the movie's going. That being said, I think when they first meet, and he's sort of playing the jazz and she realizes the music, mm-hmm. you see maybe some potential, but if I was just in, like, if I'm in that club that night, I'm not watching a movie, I'm not thinking this is a movie, this is what's going to happen, I probably wouldn't think, yeah, they're meant to be together. So I think that guy's a bit rude to that girl, like, bumping into her. It's a bit, like, not cool, man. But I think the movie's more about not them starting in a place where things are great, but getting there.
Mm. I think when the point which, I mean, obviously, yeah, you know that this is going to be a love story, but I think the point where I started to really like them as a couple was when they're in the party, I think the Hollywood Hills, and he's helping her look for her car. He makes a joke about, oh, you should hold your keys to your head.
Yes.
And it helps, like, send the radar out. Oh, help your car. Gives you brain cancer, but you'll find your car faster.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Just that kind of rapport that they had started to develop, and then they do that great song and dance, looking at the lights of the city. That was the point for me where I was really on board.
Yeah. What a waste of a lovely night. Such a lovely night, but we're with each other because we'd rather do something we actually liked, but we do actually sort of like each other. We're just sort of being a bit cute.
Have that tension.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think is a callback. Like, there's, like, I feel like a lot of old musicals where they sort of sing about how they don't really like each other, but they, you know, anything you can do, I can do better. I can't remember if that's a love one, though, but that's a romance. Anyway.
It would work.
I don't know musical takes well. I don't know musical takes well, but I really like, that was my favourite song. That was my favourite sort of scene of the movie, was where they put on the shoes and do the dancing.
That was really cool.
And you're looking out at all of LA, and I'm like, oh, I've been to places and seen all of LA like that. That's pretty special.
Yes. I think that the whole film is special in that way. It's so, especially if you've been to LA or if you live in LA or if you've ever lived in LA, the film is just such a nice, I don't know, reflection of LA, and being in the entertainment industry is just kind of fun to recognize those spots.
LA is arguably the third character in the film.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's a fun part about living in Los Angeles, is when you see these films, you get to go, oh, I've been there. Oh, we live near there.
Yeah.
Oh, we should go visit there.
Right.
Hmm. And so they do hit some, they do hit a lot of the highlights, like the highway.
Where you spend most of your time if you're like the rest of us in Los Angeles. Spend most of your time in your car.
Yeah.
On the highway.
Hollywood Hills, go to the Griffith Observatory.
Yeah.
My mum was really excited to see that because she went there when she was in LA, and she was like, I love, that was one of my favourite places in
Griffith
LA,
and
I got to see it in the movie. Yeah.
I think, and that was, I think the film did it twice. It kind of crossed over into kind of like a surreal sort of scene, because there they go, they're dancing and then they kind of float into the stars. What did you guys think about that? Because I know some people thought it was quite artistic and beautiful, and then other people thought that kind of took them out of the film because it didn't really connect to anything that was going on in the plot.
There was some laughing with my sister and her friends when that did happen, but I liked it.
You liked
it? It was cool, yeah.
I liked it too. I think it keeps the magic of a musical, and it keeps the, like, it doesn't have to be completely real. That's the fun thing about the musical genre, is that it can be a little bit fantastical and still be, like, taken seriously.
Yeah.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
At first, I thought, what's going on here?
My practical feeling.
Yeah, some kind of dream sequence. What is it? But I kind of just gave into it. I kind of just was just whisked up in the music and the dance. And by the end, I liked it.
You surrendered to the magic.
Yeah.
That was La La Land.
We started levitating in our seats at the movie theater.
Yeah.
We were spinning around above the audience, holding hands.
I like it. Was there a favorite place that you guys have in the movie from LA? Like, you know, like, what was your favourite place? You're like, oh, that's really, like, my mum was like, oh, Griffith's Observatory, that's so cool. Like,
that one stood out.
Yeah.
What were some of the other places?
I'm trying to remember.
They live near the beach. Do they live near the beach? I don't really remember.
They went to a pier. He sings on the pier, but it's not Santa Monica.
It's not Santa Monica
pier.
It must have been Malibu Pier.
I don't know which one it is. I looked it up.
There's also a Venice. There's also a pier down in Venice Marina.
It's like a less touristy pier.
Oh.
Okay.
Maybe.
It's
definitely touristy, but
Malibu's a little less.
Yeah.
Could have been Malibu.
I'll look it up later.
Anyway, I would say Griffith, probably that scene. Now that you mentioned it, all I can think of is the scene where they're tap dancing.
Yeah.
Up there at the top of the vista.
Mm. Jonathan, do you have a favorite LA location?
It's my favorite LA location in the film?
In the film, yeah.
I'm just like,
just your favorite.
Yeah, I'm like, well, you gotta try Baby Blue's Barbecue.
They better pay us for that shout out.
Yeah.
Pay us in barbecue, please.
I can't think of any others that stood out, so I'll just say Griffith.
Yeah.
We do like, good hiking in there, in that area, and the observatory itself is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a cool place to be.
I did like, there's two places for me. One was Warner Brothers Studio, because I've done the tour there a couple of times, and sort of there were bits where they were walking along and like, I've walked down that bit of the studio, so that was cool. But that was a bit touristy, I guess. The other one was like, when her car gets towed and she's got to walk, and she sees him the first time. I don't think I've walked down the natural road, but there have been a few late nights I've had in LA where I sort of haven't had a car or, like, my phone's died, so I haven't had Uber or whatever, so I've had to, like, just walk, like, through, like, sort of Hollywood and parts around there quite late at night when no one else is around. It's sort of like, for me, I felt a similar sort of feeling watching her do that. I'm like, oh, I know what it's like to be stuck out in LA late at night and having to walk, like, and you go past little clubs and little bars and, you know, sort of.
Yeah.
You're like, in retrospect, I wish I'd bumped into Ryan Gosling.
I was like, why didn't I, when I heard cool music coming out of a place, go in? Could have been the love of my life.
Instead, I went to Arby's. What a mistake.
Yeah, yeah.
I think one other place that just came into my mind was the little theater where she held her one-woman show. And I think, as an improviser, and you probably feel this too, as a stand-up, like these little spaces where art is created that are kind of run down, but they still charge an arm and a leg to rent these places out. It's kind of like the birthplace of any talented person. We all start in these like little tiny theaters that are kind of random sketchy area of Hollywood type places.
Yeah.
So that was kind of endearing to like see her in that place and
you
know, bringing in all her props and stuff. That was memorable.
That is a fun thing about LA, because obviously it has the entertainment scene with Hollywood and films and music and so on, but a lot of the people there that are pursuing those careers aren't on, you know, they're not filming things at the Warner Brothers Studios, they're performing little holes in the walls, and they're begging their friends to come, they're like, oh, tickets are just $5, come out, it's a Thursday at 10:30 p.m, it's going to be a great show, like.
Or better yet, a Monday at 6 p.m. and no one comes.
that was quite, it's an interesting part of the city, sort of a relatable part of the film.
What do we think, so they start going out, we like that. They've connected, even though they sort of, like, acted like they didn't like each other heaps at first, and a bit teasing. Like, usually when a girl acts like she doesn't like me, it's usually because she doesn't like me. It's usually I don't have the cute sort of, like,
safe word.
Yeah, yeah. It's, so I couldn't particularly relate to this. Like, sort of like, yeah, next time I meet a girl, I might just go, oh, this is sort of like that Ryan Gosling sort of attitude. La La Land, like, the mouth says no, but the dance moves say yes. What about, when they're in a relationship, things start off pretty well, we see this great montage of cute dates, cute dresses, fun times.
They're very supportive. That was one of my favourite things, that he thinks she is the best actress in the world, and her play is amazing, and everybody needs to see it. And she thinks he's an incredible jazz player, and his jazz club is going to be so cool, and we're going to do whatever he can to make it happen.
Mm.
So I like that, that they just, like, pushed each other forward, lifted each other up.
Didn't help when he didn't rock up to her show, though.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was...
That was one of the hardest scenes to watch.
Yeah, like, it was like...
It's not... There's really no explanation that's going to be acceptable here. Yeah, because he goes on tour with John Legend's band, and they're becoming kind of successful.
He needed the money, that's why he did it. He sold his soul for the money, you know, and that was, he wanted to.
It was interesting, I guess, because she understood why he did it, but I guess there wasn't the communication of what's now the long-term progression. Are you just going to be touring endlessly? Is this your life now?
Yeah.
What, am I waiting for you? Like, I didn't know that I was in a relationship with, like, a touring artist. I thought you were pursuing the club. This isn't your vision.
Right, in LA, where we would have more stable life together.
Yeah, the communication around this whole decision-making process is a bit weird to me. So it starts with, like, sort of her just asking questions. Oh, you don't want to join that band? That could be a good way to get some money, because I know money's a bit tight. Like, he's like, nah, I don't want to do that. And she's like, okay, that's fine. And then, like, her mum calls her or something, and she's like, no, don't worry, he'll get the money, it's all okay. And then he, like, overhears that, and sort of then goes, nah, better join this band or something. Like, and then they have this big argument.
And that sucked, because it was like a surprise. She came home, he was there, he cooked dinner.
Yeah.
It all started so well, and then it just went crashed and burned.
He got mad at her for pushing him into this world and then not being supportive of the sort of big band. I was actually massively on Emma Stone's side in this argument, because I feel like that was not an accurate read on what happened.
No. I don't think she pushed him towards it. I think she just, all she really did was like, oh, who's that guy?
Yeah.
What happened there? Are you interested in playing with him?
Yeah.
And now he's like, well, you made me do it. You sent me on tour.
You love John Legend, yeah. You said.
what did you think? Did you think Ryan Gosling had made a mistake here?
I thought he was a little bit immature about it. Like, I was definitely on Emma's side of this. But I have a brother-in-law who's a musician, and I know like what that struggle feels like.
Mm.
Well, I don't know, but I've seen him go through it. So I could a little bit empathize with Ryan's character, because money is really tough when you're trying to make it as a musician and you haven't broken through yet.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't think it's fair for him to pin it on her at all, but I see where his struggle was coming from. It was from his ego, because he was not able to be like the man and musician he wanted to be. So he had to have somebody to throw it on, and she was the one who was there.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the thing I found hard about this argument they had was the sort of, like, he sort of had the premise that she pushed him into this band, and now she wasn't even supporting that. Whereas I always read it as, like, she wanted him to start up that jazz club, and any encouragement she would have given for that band would have been more so he can get the money to start up the jazz club. Not that she was like, hey, give up on that dream, join this popular band indefinitely.
She wasn't saying give up, like, in order to get from A to B, you don't give up B and go to C. You get to B by going to C first and then to
B.
It's the Oprah Winfrey quote that goes, you do what you want, you do what you have to do until you can do what you want to do.
Yeah.
And that's what artists do. They do what they have to do until they can afford or have the resources to do what they really want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wisdom from Bonnie.
Yeah. So they break up.
Via Oprah.
Yeah.
Via Oprah. Of course, my muse.
So they break up. She goes back home. But then someone cared about Emma Stone. Someone turned up to a one-woman show. And even though when she went backstage after the show, she heard people going, well, that was pretty rubbish. Like,
what was with the window?
Yeah. Which,
we're like hearing someone after my like show, like, guy sucked. Like, what was with all that barbecued shrimp?
Yeah.
What was with the fake Australian accent?
Someone liked it. And she actually wanted to call up Emma Stone for an audition.
Yes. So, but she calls where she used to live. She gets a hold of Mr. Ryan.
The guys.
Yes. And then he goes, he gets Emma Stone, he brings her back, she does the audition. And this is a different type of audition to the other ones. They say they just wanted to do anything or whatever.
Just tell us a story.
Tell us a story. Is this Bonnie, have you ever had an audition like this?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. So this is something that happened. Okay. I've got a few questions about this.
It's like a fully improvised audition. So basically, sometimes they do this for scripts that like aren't completely finished yet. Yeah. Sometimes they just do this because actors are better off the cuff and natural a lot of times than super prepared with lines. I've done improv, completely improvised auditions before.
Mm.
And it's fun, and it's way more relaxing because you don't have to remember anything and you're not competing. So yeah, it's a thing.
Is that
happens.
Common enough to where people are preparing stories? They're like, look, the script's kind of flexible, we're not going to have you do the scene, just tell us a story. And then people are like, exterior day in Boston 1857.
Uh-huh. We know how you would handle it. That's going to be the appendix to this podcast, Jonathan's monologue, right after this. Stay tuned.
So she sings a song. She has a song prepared.
I feel like that was supposed to be sort of like an emotional crescendo for her character. And perhaps this is a bit lame, but for me, that wasn't my favourite scenes just because the song wasn't as catchy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a weak opinion?
No, I agree.
I was listening to the soundtrack the other day and I liked the song more just listening to the soundtrack, but the movie's a bit less catchy. So is this all the sound is common, Bonnie? So this actress out of nowhere, someone just saw her in a play, hey, yeah, come do an audition. She does the story, they're like, we love it. So we don't actually have a script yet. We're going to build the whole script around you. We're flying to Paris in 3 months, and we'll just, like, figure it out from there. Is that, like...
It happens, but it's so rare.
That's rare, okay.
It's so rare, little girls listening to this podcast. Have hopes and dreams, but be realistic and know that it is so rare. So just keep striving towards it, but don't let it kill your mojo if you don't achieve that, because a lot of people wait many years for people to write scripts for them, and sometimes... Never at all. I mean, sometimes you could be a really successful actress and never have anything written specifically for you. You'll just be placed into a role.
Do you think that if there are any aspiring actresses or actors out there, if they get the audition for a role, for a big movie role, they get it, to take that role and not go, look, I saw La La Land, Emma Stone got the whole thing written around her, I'm waiting for that.
I would say don't do that.
Okay, take the role.
Take the role unless it's something that you're uncomfortable with, like nudity, or if the director is, you know, a chauvinist, crazy person, don't take it. But, you know, within reason, you need to eat, you need to pay your rent, you need to perform, work begets work, you take the role.
I feel this might be part of, like, the nostalgic sort of feel of the film, but I would imagine that might have been something that would have happened... Further, like, you know, decades ago, like in the 50s, someone might have just plucked a girl out of a restaurant and said, you're beautiful, I'm going to make you a star.
Yeah. Sleep with me. I imagine in the 50s.
Yeah, well, it might have been abused a little. Like. But, you know, it might have actually happened. Whereas now I feel like, what are your credits? What have you done? Yeah, you've done a Colgate commercial, like 3-episode story arc on Days of Our Lives. All right, you're in.
Oh, no, and today it's how many followers do you have on YouTube? How many followers do you have on Instagram? People are now getting roles based off of their social media presence and following, and they're getting cast based off of content they're posting on the internet.
Yeah.
So it is Hollywood is a completely different world today, and they didn't dive into that in this film. Mm. Thank goodness. Ugh. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, and they were paying homage to more of, like, the classic Hollywood, which is probably why they didn't go into that. But Hollywood today is a whole bunch of rubbish in terms of, like, followers and what kind of, you know, presence do you have and what's your fan base, because it's way easier for producers to capitalize on what you've already built.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. As opposed to taking somebody with raw talent who has no followers on Twitter or whatever.
I was very risk averse. I even hear this Damien Chazelle guy who made the film, of which his name
Damien Chazelle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I heard that, like, he even had to make Whiplash to be able to make La La Land or something like that.
Right.
I don't know if that's true or not.
I heard La La Land, they came up with the idea something 12 years ago, and they seriously tried to get it made, and had a script, you know, like 6 years ago. So it's definitely been a long time coming.
Yeah.
There was the comedian Owen Benjamin. He friends on Facebook, so there you go, just name dropping like a C-grade celebrity there. He was a comedian in LA, toured a lot, and he sort of got like a bit burnt out with that whole, you know, based on followers or just giving it to things to people because they're already famous. And he's now lives in New York, like sort of country New York. And he said on Facebook, he posted, "The moment Pitbull got his own show on Disney is the moment I decided to leave Los Angeles."
That's pretty good. I like that. With audition, I have an audition story. I was interviewing, Noelle Wells from... She was on Saturday Night Live for a bit and stuff. Anyway, she's in Master of None. She plays Aziz, his love interest in Master of None.
Oh, yeah.
And she said she went into the audition with him. And, like, he sort of said... Like, it was an improv setting where he's like, "My condom just broke, what do we do?" Like, which is the opening scene of Master of None. She won the role off this one. She earned the role based off her sort of improv to give and be thrown a situation. Right. So it wasn't like she had lines to read, but it also wasn't a tell us a story.
Right.
It was a, "My condom just broke,
she's like,
what are we going to do?"
"I've done improv 101.
Yeah.
Yes, and."
Yeah.
"Yes, your condom broke, and we need to fix it."
Yeah. So very good. Okay. So the end of the movie.
Yeah, end of the film. I guess we were rooting for them to be successful and end up together. And half of that comes true. In the end, she gets this role. She becomes a big movie star. He has the money to start his own place. What did he want to call it? Chicken on a Stick? Something, yeah, it had a funny name. I kind of liked it, but anyway.
Do you know what he should call it, though?
Yeah.
I got it. My better name. Drumsticks.
Drumsticks.
Chicken, then you have chicken drumsticks, and you have drums in the band.
Or Yummy Drummy.
Yeah, what's that?
No, Yummy Drummy?
No.
Oh, that was like my favorite thing in primary school.
Oh.
It's, I think it's, yeah, well, it's like a chicken drumstick, but without the bone. Just like a breaded chicken tender.
Oh, great. Like, yeah.
You could order them at the canteen.
Do they call them drumsticks in America, Bob?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, great.
Absolutely,
great.
Yeah.
Cool. So, they also have in
your
Australia.
Your humor is translated.
Okay, good. The name would work in a LA.
Let me just put this in my app, like Australian joke translator.
Yeah.
Not funny in these following countries.
Yeah. So, anyway, there you go. So, drumsticks, I thought would have been good. But it was Seb's.
He went with her idea.
Which is apparently what my friend Bass, or Sebastian, who really loved jazz, apparently his uni friends called him Seb.
Huh.
Yeah.
And does he want to open, like, he'd always wanted to open a jazz club named Seb's, and he's like, "Well, thanks,
yeah.
La La Land."
I don't know. I'll give him a call now and see. I'll give him a quick call. Oh, my iPhone needs to cool before we can use it. We'll give him a call in a bit.
Wow.
It is,
He's at work now, and he works at a law firm, but...
In a suit.
He doesn't have to answer his phone. No.
Do not envy anyone wearing a suit today. It is unprecedentedly warm.
Yeah.
Some Sydney weather trivia there for you guys listening at home.
So
he ends up with the club. She ends up going into the club.
She's on a billboard near the club. Like, she's famous.
See that
she's got a billboard, yeah.
And she's with her new husband. They have children.
He seems like just so kind of lame.
He seems not like a bad husband, but like boring.
Just a cookie kind of
rich guy husband.
Yeah.
Just the classic handsome rich husband. Boring.
Yeah.
He's like, "Oh, let's check out this place." She doesn't say anything.
But she knows.
They go in and... Seb comes over and sits down and he plays the song that he had sung for her, and then it goes into another one of these sort of dream sequences or surreal kind of... And I didn't entirely understand it, because I get it was sort of like an alternative story where everything goes well.
Yeah.
But I just wondered, is this like a hypothetical? Like, oh, if only, you know, she hadn't taken the movie, or if only I'd said this... It could have been like this. But there didn't seem to be a what if, or it could have been if. They just kind of played an alternate scenario where just everything was great from the start, great through the middle, and great at the end. And then we just come back to the club. So as much as I like the aesthetic of it, and, you know, them running through the stage with the, you know, the dancers and things, I wasn't sure what the point, what was, you know, what was it trying to convey emotionally about their relationship with that scene?
I feel like it was more general, maybe not just conveying about their relationship, but just more metaphorically on a wider perspective of, like, we have so many choices in life, but we ultimately have to choose one, and then one choice naturally leads into another choice, and then you end up somewhere that you might not have necessarily been. I thought it was just more of a, that type of message.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I took it. I don't know. What do you think?
I feel like maybe it was like just romanticizing their relationship, like just like these are sort of in some ways some combination of memories or imagination that they have, and they sort of show this still a connection between them. There's still something shared that they have. Some of that's in their imagination, some of that's in reality, like some just mix of feelings.
Because one of the clips was when they meet for the first time in that restaurant where he just got fired, he just walks past her and bumps through her.
Yeah.
But then in this sequence, he walks up to her and kisses her. And I'm like, that's not a realistic alternative. You can't just kiss a random person in a restaurant.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just wasn't sure what it was saying. It was just...
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe...
I'm not saying they like each other. They liked each other all.
Yeah, just like, oh, if I'd have known then what I know now, I would have just gone up to her and kissed her and made a better first impression.
Right. So. Yeah. Like, sort of... Yeah, I think it encapsulated their relationship. Both their places and moments that were important, but also... feelings they had for one another, and that might be in sort of the kiss in the restaurant was more sort of like an expression of love added to the memory. Like, I don't know. Who knows? But I liked it. I thought it was cool.
And so then finishes the song. She goes to leave. They kind of share a little knowing glance, and that's the end of the film.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's the end of the film. Let's give it.
I like that it ended with them looking at each other, but not being together. I think the thing I liked about the ending, because I wasn't sure if I liked the ending or not when I first saw it, but it's grown on me, and I think I liked that their love for each other went beyond them having to be with each other.
Like, their journey almost propelled each other towards their dream, and then they were able to experience that love but continue to pursue what their passions were.
Are they ever really going to be happy, though? Like, do you think Emma Stone loves that guy the same way she loved Ryan Gosling?
I don't, and that's why I hated the ending.
But they'll always have that, those memories of what they had together. Do they need to have that?
That's depressing as heck, that you've got these burning, passionate memories about a guy that's not your husband.
Don't you want it for the rest of it? He does.
Yeah,
he does.
Yeah. I guess, and she didn't really, she could have pursued a dream and not married that boring guy. Like, it's not like she had to marry this guy. She has a kid with him too, by the way.
That's true. We don't really know very much about this guy. He could be great. We don't know.
Imagine if we saw the film from his perspective, the whole story. Second greatest.
He's like a war hero and we're just bashing him as some loser.
Yeah. Okay.
So, there you go.
Okay,
spring
cool.
Verdict.
Spring verdict.
I guess I'll kick this off. I wasn't sure how much I was going to like it because I'm not a big musical person, and it starts off, and as much as I've grown to like the song, when they're singing on the highway, and you can clearly see that it's, you know, that they've dubbed it, they're not singing there on the highway, I don't know, I wasn't sure if I was going to like really get into the film, but the moment we met Ryan and Emma, I really loved them as characters, really loved their storyline, the love story. A lot of the other songs were really great, City of Stars, and lots of very memorable tracks. I thought visually it was very beautiful. It was a great sort of encapsulation of Los Angeles and, you know, the arts industry with film and music. And I kind of liked that sort of nostalgic feel and how it's generally kind of positive and gave you, you know, warm, happy feelings. And I think that's maybe why the film ended the way it did with them not together, because, you know, it might have been a bit too happy-go-lucky, cheesy, happy, you know, for us to really buy it if everything just went well.
Mm.
So I sort of understand why they took that route with the ending. I was happy he got his bar, I was happy she became successful, but I don't know if they were completely happy, but, you know,
Who is?
Yeah. And I thought it was very very funny at times, some great lines, great moments. And overall, I really enjoyed it. There was maybe just one or two moments where it slowed down, or a couple of scenes lost me. But overall, I enjoyed it a lot, and I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10.
Oh, nice. I'll give my review pretty quickly. I really enjoyed it. It's really sweet. It's really evoked great feelings. I love the music. I love the look. I love the characters. I love the place. It was really good. That being said, it probably wasn't, like, one of my favourite films of all time. Like, you know, I was enjoying it a lot, but there were a few moments where I was, like, loving the film on a high level. So I thought, very good movie. One of my favourites of the year, 8.5 out of 10.
Ooh. Nice. Wow, well, I love this movie. I think it's one of my favourite movies of the last probably 5 years.
Whoa, okay.
I grew up doing musical theatre. I'm an actor. I'm a comedian. I live in Los Angeles. Emma Stone has been an inspiration to me for a long time. There was no way I wasn't going to like this film. But the fact that it was well done made me like it even more. So I'm going to give it a 10 out of 10. I mean,
10 out of 10?
It'll go down on one of my top movies. Whoa. Of all time.
Whoa.
Of all time.
It's done pretty well, like, I don't know. 8 plus 8.5 plus 10 out of 30. That's a good score.
My favorite part is Bonnie hated the ending, but it got 10 out of 10.
I did hate the ending. But you know what? You can't always get what you want.
This is Matt Noble, Dark Knight Rises level sort of logic when I mistakenly gave that film.
Okay, 9.8 out of 10.
Okay, I first have a 0.8.
Yeah,
I'll give Bass a quick call. My phone's working again. See, if he opened a jazz club, what would he open? Guys, friggin'.
Australian ringers sound so strange.
Yeah. Is that different?
It's quite different.
I feel like if he picks up, we'll be talking quite quietly.
Hi, you've reached Sebastian McIntosh. Please leave your name, number, and a message after the tone. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, Bass. It's Matt and Jonathan and Bonnie here calling.
From... Email cancelled.
What? What? What?
That's offensive.
What was that? Did it not ask me to leave a message? Was I meant to press something?
It said something cancelled.
Something cancelled?
Well, maybe it's got a filter. Maybe you're blocked. Matt's left me too many messages while recording podcasts.
That is the first time I've ever tried to leave Bass a voicemail. I just hang up and just go, oh, well.
Well, there you go. We'll have to, maybe we'll let you know. If we get onto Bass, maybe in a future housekeeping, we'll let you know. Mm. There you go. Strong scores all around. It's a contender at the Oscars. Could be a contender at the Screen Verdict Awards. Mm. I feel like this is going to be one of the most competitive years at the ESPYs, both film and television. I can think of quite a few that we've scored highly.
Also, I can't think of any that, like, there have been some years when I've gone, Jonathan's going to be arguing heavily for X movie or X person. It might be because we haven't talked about that movie yet or whatever, but I don't have in my head what even the fights are going to be over at this point.
The field is wide open.
Last year, no fights on the films. Like, we pretty much just agreed with the winners on every category.
What won best film last year?
Inside Out.
Inside Out. There was a bit of... Ooh. Damien Chazelle could be a two-time SV best film winner. That was a close year. I think Matt might have been leaning towards Nebraska. I was leaning more towards Whiplash.
I think so. That was a bit of a fight.
Not a hotly contested year.
In hindsight, I think we made the right call. I'd need to see both movies again, but I think that was the right call.
I've watched Whiplash again, and it held up. I haven't seen Nebraska since.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, there you go.
I think that's probably right, but just for housekeeping, I'm very excited. Tomorrow we've got your guys' Sydney engagement party.
Woo!
That, I'm very excited. Bass.
La La soundtrack on repeat.
Bass is going to be in the mix, I hear. He got the invite, yes?
Yeah, you know, I actually invited Mel. Because how I invited people on Facebook was just, I went through suggested.
Yeah.
And then I went through Sydney. And I guess I either missed Baz or he didn't appear in any... Maybe he hadn't changed, you know, something on his profile since he was, like, in Canberra or something.
Yeah.
But Mel ended up getting an invite and not Baz. And then Mel accepted it. And then something just popped into my head. Like, oh, did I invite Baz?
Yeah.
And then I sent him one. But he's... I knew if he saw that, he's going to be like, why are so many people invited and responded and commented already? And I'm just getting the invite today.
I did think I was at something with Baz and Mel. If you don't know Mel, she's Baz's wife. For listeners, I think I was at something with them like a couple weeks ago. And Mel did seem to know more about it than Baz. I was going, oh, that's a bit weird.
So we're excited to celebrate. The old Sydney crew. It's going to get pretty
hot.
Hot, yes.
Whoa.
We're encouraging swimsuits.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be 40 degrees Celsius for all you Americans.
What is
100 degrees.
What is the single girls situation going to be at the party, Jonathan?
Oh, let's see. It's the party's mostly
slim.
Mostly comprised of mum and dad's friends.
Yeah,
mostly 60 plus.
But some of them might be single, so I don't know how you feel about that.
It's out of my age range on most dating apps.
My jiu-jitsu friends. It's not an all male gym, but predominantly
the jiu-jitsu crew probably.
And then my school friends, and
oh,
although
the Barker boys.
Yeah, although it wasn't an all male school, I had only male friends.
Yeah,
didn't really peak.
Didn't really peak
in high school.
Do you guys have a nerd alert? No,
nah,
just
no,
a spoiler.
We don't. Yeah, no, we should get one though. It'd be heavily used if we got a nerd alert.
I'm just kidding. I'm glad you're a nerd because if you weren't, then what if I wouldn't have met you?
Well, I think Jonathan has peaked. At the right time, like you don't want to peak in high school.
That was a high five.
Yeah,
I'm still waiting to peak. I'm still.
And
YTP, yet to peak.
So we have those friends and their plus ones. So unless you're willing to cut some grass,
anyone on the rocks?
Yeah,
any
lucky relationships?
Matt,
give me
bad.
The heads up.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
But the wedding. Now I have got some. Adorable single friends.
Whoa, okay.
They all live in the United States and will not move to Sydney. But
what do you mean they will not move to Sydney? If they said, look, I'm not moving to Sydney. Don't care what job, don't care who the guy is, don't care what the opportunity is, not moving to Sydney.
Probably.
Okay.
It's just that far.
They are yet to meet Mick.
You're right, Matt. You never know. There might be an adventurous one in there somewhere.
I'm this weird mix of self-deprecating and, like, talking myself.
Yeah.
I like it, though.
Matt isn't pretty good at anything.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm so embarrassingly bad at that. Or I'm literally the best person you'll ever meet.
Yeah. These girls are going to either want to move to Sydney or move further away from Sydney at the end of this wedding. Okay. Fantastic.
One quick story that was La La Land related that we... I almost said pre-podcast. For Christmas, Bonnie and I had just watched La La Land right before Christmas.
Yeah.
So I thought...
I like it.
You know what? I'm going to do a La La Land Christmas card.
It's one of Bonnie's favourite movies.
Bonnie loved the movie.
Yeah.
And so I made a Christmas card where I got the picture of the soundtrack cover, but I photoshopped my face onto Ryan Gosling and Bonnie's face onto Emma Stone. And then the card said, Merry Christmas, Bonnie. You are my Ryan Gosling.
And that was the cutest thing ever. That's why you're going to be a great husband, babe.
Because Bonnie loved La La Land and I love Ryan Gosling.
That's right.
The perfect Christmas card.
He's the only person you're allowed to date while we're married.
Yeah,
if you wanted to go on a date with anyone while we're married, I will allow Ryan Gosling. And only Ryan Gosling.
Yeah. Cool. I thought I was your Ryan Gosling, so...
You thought that you were my Ryan Gosling?
Oh.
So I'm a bit cut by this story. Yeah. Like,
Matt no longer wants to go bowling with us after this.
He's
feeling hurt.
Yeah, we're going to go bowling now. That's exciting.
Yeah, the results of which
will be
revealed.
Will be posted on the Facebook
next week's housekeeping.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else to add?
No. Let's go bowling. I want to go bowling.
All right. Thanks a lot for listening, guys. Hope you enjoyed. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.